My heart has been touched. In fact, I even used this in our greeting this year by the wonderful words in Galatians chapter 4. And it is such a great verse that we obviously cannot expose all that is there in a short time. But in Galatians chapter 4, but when the fullness of time was come. Now, quite frankly, when Pastor asked if I would be willing to speak on Wednesday night, that was initially what I wanted to work on, because God, when we think of time, time is no deal with God, because He's lineal. I mean, there always was, and there always will be, and there is God. And so I would have to tell you that that's a little hard for our poor minds to get a hold of, isn't it? To think that our infinite God is actually not limited by time, but He uses time for us, for our benefit. And the good thing is that one of the things that as you start to get older, you thank the Lord for the time you have. And rejoice in that. And just a whole lot of other things. And so I really had thought about working on that. And by the way, I'm convinced that there were those who were the scholars at the time of the incarnation who should have known that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming. They should have known. If they'd have been really studying the scriptures, they should have known this is just about when this is going to have to happen. Well, whether they had a clue as to what was going to happen, God is the one who makes things happen. Aren't you glad for that? And that God is the God who is doing some wonderful things even right now. We don't understand it all, but we can trust our God. But I'm going to actually focus on something a little bit different here, and that is the last part of that verse. God sent His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And the more I thought about that, the more I thought, what a wonderful thing to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ was made of a woman. Let me tell you why this just really gripped my heart. And that was because we do know that in Genesis chapter 2, we have the account of the creation of man. This must have been just a marvelous thing. The morphos, the form was there, and suddenly the Spirit of God came and breathed in that form, and man became what? A living soul, a living soul. So you have that form, the Spirit of God comes onto that form, and as a result, man becomes a living soul. And of course, Eve was created shortly thereafter. And was just a wonderful, wonderful event as we think about all of that going on. But when we come to Genesis chapter 3, and by the way, I'm really pushing through things rather rapidly, okay? So hang on. As we come to Genesis chapter 3, we find that Satan approached Eve, and Eve listened to Satan. And she made a decision on, I like to say, the soul level. I've had people say, as a pastor, and I've done a lot of counseling, they'll say, I don't know why I did it, I just did it. Well, you didn't just do it. You thought about it before you did it. Amen? Well, it's amen anyway, all right? yeah. And so we made a decision at this level, right? Before we did it at this level. Are we agreed? Amen. Praise the Lord. We've got several people saying amen now. We're heading in the right direction here. But anyway, Eve was tempted. She saw at that thinking level, she saw that it was good for... At that point, though, when she saw that it was good for food, she had to make a decision, am I going to believe God or am I going to believe Satan? And we know what she did. Sin entered the human race through a woman. Now, you should never give your conclusion at the beginning of a message. But just in case I don't get through, I'm going to give you the conclusion now so you don't miss it later on. All right, now we'll work through this in just a little while. But nonetheless, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? Here, sin entered into the human race through a woman. Wouldn't it be a marvelous thing if God intersected the awful calamity that was involved as far as the human race is concerned and provided a redeemer through a woman? Glory! Isn't that wonderful to realize that? Now, I don't know if any of you ladies have ever seen this or any of you men have ever seen this, but occasionally I've seen couples where a man can't find something and or figure something out, and the wife will know exactly what the answer is. Things are getting a little tense around here right now, I can tell. But and have you ever seen how the lady will say, well, this is where it's at, and that's where it's at. And the lady has this kind of a look, a resignation. You should have listened to me. I better be careful here. I think I'm getting really, really serious trouble right now. But anyway, wouldn't it be wonderful if God made it possible where this whole mess that was created because the woman made a wrong decision, wouldn't it be wonderful if as a result of God's gracious, merciful plan, he made it possible so that this whole mess that was sold into slavery, that was captivated by Satan and controlled by Satan, wouldn't it be wonderful if God in his mercy and God in his grace made it possible so that a redeemer could come through a woman? Wouldn't that be wonderful? And that's what happened. Isn't it great? Our God is so great. So, ladies, you don't have to have that attitude where, well, yeah, we get blamed for everything. I see some people looking at some other people going on here right now. I mean, there are women looking at men right now. But nonetheless, isn't that a marvelous thought, though, to think that God could take at his point in time, in the fullness of what? Time. When it was exactly the right time. Now, when you think about this, this is really a marvelous, marvelous thing because it couldn't have been done any other way. But from our perspective, listen, God was capable of creating another human being. I mean, God is capable, right? I mean, it's not what we need and what would suffice as far as God's total plan, but I want you to realize the fact that this baby was born of a woman was really, really very marvelous. And I can't help but think. Now, you told me I had, what, 20, 25 minutes, something like that? I'm just thinking about what a wonderful thing it is that here you have such a mess as far as humanity is concerned. Would you agree that in Washington, D.C., we've got a mess? When you have a president that issues an order to somebody in the Justice Department and they don't obey it, that's a mess. When you have people in Congress that issue subpoenas to people in the Justice Department and they don't obey it, you've got a mess, right? And by the way, if you think we've got a mess here, what do you think about the mess going on in France right now? or in South America, and over and over and over again. I would say this world needs God's help, wouldn't you? We need the intervention. We need a divine intervention. And praise God, at exactly the right time. And His time was the right time, in the fullness of times, when it was exactly the right time. Now, I think for those of you that are Bible students, you can see this could go off into a lot of different really good applicational areas that we could work on. But are you starting to see that we have a God who is so sovereign? Our God knows exactly what He's doing. We don't always understand it. But we have a God who, in the fullness of time, our God will always do that which is right. He will always do that which is right. And at the time when we are going through particular things in our lives, it may seem very, very difficult. Later on, as we look back, we think, oh, thank God you did things the way you did it. We haven't totally understood how we got to this place, you know, where suddenly we don't have an address. We did the things that we were told to do. We didn't know that our house was going to sell in 2 weeks. We didn't know that. And then, of course, you're going to have to move out a short time after, because once people buy the house, they don't really like to have you continue to live there. You know, that's that's just the way it works. And but God has really done some wonderful things. God's time is always right. That's one thing we could pull out of that, isn't it? God's time is always right. Well, I have a lot to be thankful for. You know, I went all year last year without being in the hospital once. Well, I mean, just I went in and out, but nonetheless, that's pretty big. That was pretty good. Our cardiologist, who is a Christian Chinese, he told my wife, and I was sitting there, he said, we've almost lost him 5 times in the last 3 years. He didn't tell her to do this, and he didn't tell me to do this, but the idea was, you better plan for a memorial service. Because you know what? God has the right time. Amen. In fact, I was even talking to the pastor about it today. Aren't you glad that we can talk about this time thing, and it's very, very real? I did not know that I would live to be almost 80 years old. But God was gracious. And if you're there or above, God's been gracious to you. Amen? Well, Eve chose to do that which catapulted the whole human race into sin and degradation. That was a woman made that decision. Aren't you glad that we have something so wonderful? We do know this in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. It says that the seed of the woman is going to do what? Defeat Satan. I love that. I probably said this already, but I just think, what must have Satan and his demonic forces have felt when the reality of the virgin birth took place? And by the way, it was indisputably a virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Indisputably. He met every legal requirement. There was nothing that could be negated. There was nothing that could be challenged. Our God did it right. Our son Nathan, of course, when he was going through law school, he was telling his mother and I, he said, one of the things that we were told, you have to be sure that every comma, every period is in exactly the right place or it changes everything. You have to have it right. And they told that there were cases, and they proved that there were cases that had been lost because a comma was put in the wrong place. Folks, our God just doesn't make any mistakes in the fullness of time. And can I tell you that? He hasn't made any mistakes in your life. He doesn't make any mistakes. The things that have happened to me have happened for the glory of God. I have had the privilege of, I try to do a lot of walking. And when I have met people in the neighborhood. I was, you know, I have a smile on my face. And quite frankly, if you have a smile on your face, you're suspect right there. Did you know that? I had, I had this smile on my face. And one gentleman that I met, he was walking one way, I was walking the other. And he said, "Hi, how are you today?" I had a smile, he had a smile. And about four steps beyond me, he turned around and said, and I said, "Well, I'm praising the Lord." He said, "What did you say?" And so I said, "Well, I'm praising the Lord." And I was able to give my testimony. And we developed a really strong relationship. He comes from the Netherlands, actually. And he remembers just parts of the Second World War. He's a little younger than I am, but his dad had to be hiding all the time from the Nazis during the Second World War. And we've developed a great wonderful friendship. And I've been able to do that over and over again because I'm sometimes people will ask me, "Why are you praising the Lord?" And I'll say, "I'm praising the Lord because when I was 16 years old, I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. And he has been so faithful to me." Now, here's the one that really gets you. I mean, this is the one that gets they'll listen to you, especially women, people at the counter, the checkout clerk. They'll listen to you if you say, sometimes when you say, "Well, I'm praising the Lord," they have that attitude, "Oh boy, here we go." But I said, "You'd rather have me praising the Lord than being an old grouch, wouldn't you?" And they'll generally say, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah." And so I try to use it for the Lord. I've had people come right at the time as I'm checking out. I've had clerks say, "Would you pray for me right now? I'm going through it." You see, God has his times. Aren't you glad for that tonight? God has his times. You are not here by accident tonight. Did you know that? God wants you to be aware of the fact that he used a woman. And as a result of his selection of Mary to be the one that would be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. But what did he send his son to do? To redeem us. As a result of his particular accomplishment, the accomplishment of the son, he redeemed us. My wife and I talk about this from time to time. It's such a blessing to us. I remember so clearly, folks, that night when I was 16 years old, when I just came to the place where I was so sick and tired of being a sinner, and I asked Jesus Christ to save me from my sin, and to know that my sins were gone. Praise the Lord, my sins were gone. You know, knowing that I wasn't going to hell, that was a biggie as far as I was concerned. But the more you study the Word, the more wonderful you realize this wonderful plan of redemption really is. Well, it's true that it was the woman that failed, but aren't you glad that it was also the woman that God used to rectify the whole situation and bring about redemption for his name's sake? Well, in Isaiah, he promised that a virgin would conceive. Luke tells us really, really precise, with great precision, concerning how this whole thing took place. The Holy Spirit is going to cause Mary to be with child. You know, the Roman Catholic Church, you probably know this, but the Roman Catholic Church, in order to have an absolutely pure person, because they need to have somebody that they call the Mother of God. Are you aware of that? You know, some of you know that. They have what they call the one who is the Mother of God. And so the woman who was the mother of Mary, they say that she had the immaculate conception so that Mary would be pure and that she would have no sin. Well, there's no biblical basis for that at all. But I'm so glad that God could take a woman who was obeying the Word of God and in submission to the Word of God, and God could take that woman and use her. You see, it wasn't the flesh that was the problem. It was the soul that was the problem, wasn't it? And as a result of that, bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ. And even at his crucifixion, at the time of his trial, they could say, I find no fault in him, made of a woman. So tonight, I hope that this one who was born under the law, the one who kept the law, his death is so precisely recorded, it's legally recorded, there's no doubt about it, it's physically documented, and spiritually we do know that something very special happened. I hesitate to even mention this next little line here, but you know, it is really a wonderful thing that here this one who lived that pure and spotless life, he never did anything wrong in his body, but more than that, he never did anything wrong in his soul. And so as he is about ready to go, give up his life as far as the body, it says, into thy hands, I commend my what? Spirit. He made that decision at the soul level, and then his body died. And as a result of that great sacrifice, the one who was born of a woman was able to provide salvation for you and for me. The infinite righteousness of Christ. As I said earlier, it was such a joy to me to realize that night when I sat down beside my bed and I said, oh God, I know I'm a sinner. Please save me from my sins. And I got up off my knees that night and I knew that my sins were gone. What a wonderful thing. Why was that possible? Because someone, as we find in Galatians chapter 4, was sent and was born of a woman to redeem those who were under the curse of the law. The law cursed me. What I couldn't do physically, I could think emotionally. So I was condemned. And to be free from all of that, I just have to say, hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a God. So, ladies, I hope it's a little bit encouraging to know that it's true that sin entered into the human race as a result of the woman's sin. But aren't you glad that the redemption came as a result of the woman being the pure and wonderful vessel that God could use? And God used her to carry our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and redeem those who were under the curse of the law. Do we dare try to sing that last stanza of that glorious hymn? We've sung, lifted up was he to die, it is finished was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high, hallelujah, our Savior. But we also look forward to when he comes, our glorious King, with his ransomed ones to bring. Then anew this song we'll sing, hallelujah, what a Savior. And God's people said, amen. Father, we're so thankful. We're just so joyful. You deserve all of the praise, that's for certain. Our Savior is the one that we love and just adore tonight. But Lord, we stand in awe of your majestic plan. It has worked right on time. It has been just exactly what it should be. And the result is our sins can be gone and we can know they're gone because we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.